Okay, everyone, welcome back. It's another episode of Inside Boxing. We're presented by PPV.com in association with Yahoo Sports and Uncrowned. I'm Dan Canobio. He's the champ, Chris Algieri. Go follow PPV.com. Got a big one coming up May 2nd. Benavidez versus Zerto. Quickly approaching. We're less than a month away from that one. Streaming on PPV.com, live interactive chat, Fight Week content. They are a presenting sponsor, and they allow us to do two episodes a week. Now, Chris, let's get it going. Let's get it started. We had one heck of a Saturday over on Netflix. Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua, Conor Benn versus Regis Prograis. A lot of fallout from that. But first I ask, as always, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I literally just came from the airport. Got in from Philadelphia last night. I had two shows this weekend, Friday and Saturday night, back-to-back on ProBox TV. So I am very low on sleep today. Oof. So I got a nice big...
Watch
airport,
out,
airport, everybody. Airport coffee.
Watch out, everyone.
Yes.
Chris is underslept.
On a warpath.
On a warpath. Friday I saw you were in Newark. Shakur Stevenson joined the set. Did he ask about me?
He did not. Oh, shit. But everything was cool. Everything was copacetic. We were cordial. It was cool. I mean, here's another problem with me. The problem is with you.
Well, he did once tweet, how does Chris Algieri have a job?
Oh, that's right. But yeah, that's true. That's true. Which was very funny because I have a lot of reasons. I have a lot of reasons to have a very good job. And
very funny because you never said anything bad about it.
Well, that's it.
Yeah, I just saw him sit down. I was like, all right, this guy, it's good to see him in Newark. That's where he wants to fight next, he said. He was supporting a fighter on the card.
Yeah, correct? Manny Chance. Emmanuel Chance. He had a tough fight that night, but he got the split decision win. Very, very tight, very, very close fight. Little controversial. Started out really strong, looked really, really good. You know, for the first round, Shakur was on the call with us, and then he kind of went to his enjoying the rest of the fight, but man, it got rough.
How about Saturday night, Boardwalk Hall? How is that place looking these days?
Packed to the gills. It wasn't the big room. It was a smaller room, but it was packed. That was a good turnout. We had a lot of local Jersey guys fighting. Really, really good co-main event with Jan Marcos versus Dwight Flemings Jr. Badass fight. Both guys dropped each other in back-to-back rounds. Super tight, highly contested, high boxing IQ type fight. Really, really good. If you guys didn't see that, go check it out on
And Melnicki
on Pro Box TV YouTube. Yes, and Melnicki was in the co-main, put on a shutout performance against a tough Mexican guy with some pop. But Melnicki looked good, man. Fought a really disciplined fight. Couldn't get the guy out of there. He was super tough, but he was very comprehensive in the way that he performed.
Love that. Back-to-back fight nights. Love that as well. So it's a very busy boxing weekend. We start over in UK heavyweight division. Tyson Fury defeats Arslan Beck Makhmudov, and the initial thoughts on Fury's performance, I thought he looked fine. I didn't think he looked great. I didn't think he looked poor. We talked about his decline on the last episode. Didn't exactly see that. Granted, he's been out of the ring for 16 months. He's 37 years old. I thought the reflexes looked good. I thought the jab looked good. Not much power on those shots. A few defensive lapses where he was coming straight back. But all in all, I thought, okay, this looks like a pretty good version of Tyson Fury. Good enough to compete with some of the best heavyweights in the world. Who will he compete against? We'll get there in a second. But I wanted your initial thoughts first. I thought he looked okay. Like, not great, not horrible.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I was wondering what you were going to say about it because we didn't talk about this prior to the show. I actually just watched the fight this morning because I was calling fights last night while he was fighting. So I didn't get to watch it live. And I agree with your assessment. I don't think he looked bad. I think he had a guy in front of him who was very strong, fought a very rough, crude fight. But as the fight wore on, you got to see why Tyson Fury is Tyson Fury. You know, he was pumping that jab. He had a very good lead hand. He was switching between orthodox and southpaw pretty seamlessly. Some defensive lapses. You got clipped with some shots that you probably wouldn't have when he's really locked in. But I think that was a good fight for him to bust the rust off. He got the rounds in. He had a guy in front of him who was tough and durable. But the power wasn't really there. But I mean, Tyson was never really known for his power. He would set down right here and there. But I thought his boxing skills, his reactivity, pretty good for a 37-year-old who's been off the couch. But yeah, that was a good bust off the rust type performance, and I think it's actually going to help him moving forward. I saw a lot of people like, oh, he needs to retire. He's past it.
No.
I don't think so. I think that was the kind of fight that he needed. He's still so gritty, man. The inside work, he'll grab you and hit you and punch on the inside. Yeah, I wasn't very critical of the performance.
Makhmudov was the perfect opponent.
Yeah.
Sturdy, tall, big, menacing looking for all the promos.
Physical.
But man, is that guy, yeah. He's just so limited, and he just came out like a bull in a china shop. First three or four rounds, just storming at Fury with no real plan. And Fury, it took him, three or four rounds to kind of get used to that. And I thought that's probably what he needed. You know, if you take a lot of time off, you can attest to this way better than I have. Never been in the ring. If you were going to take a long time off and you have a guy that's just going to rush right at you, you have no time to really think. It's trial by fire right away. And I think Fury could have easily folded early on or had some issues early on, especially defensively, as those reflexes are going. Gave you the stats last week where he's getting hit with over 45% of his power shots in his last three fights. Not the case in this fight. But I thought Makhmudov was the perfect opponent, rushing forward, no real plan, and was going to at least try to bring the fight to Fury. But it did take him a few rounds to settle in. Fury landed 46% of his power shots. Makhmudov never landed more than 8 punches in any round. So the defense was there. I think that was more along the lines of Makhmudov just not really being a creative offensive fighter or a talented offensive fighter. But the reflexes were there for Fury.
I think that
down on shots.
I think more importantly, the psychology is still there for Fury. He's still in there, grinding and figuring out ways to win rounds. And I think that's really important for an older fighter. He's still got a lot of fight in him. And I think that's the main thing I took away from this fight. It's like, this guy can still compete. He still has that it factor. In terms of his, his skills, what he's known for at his best, yeah, we're not going to expect the best at him at 37. But I think in terms of the psychology of a fighter, he's still got that.
All right, so do we just get right into the meaty part?
Let's go.
You watched the end, right?
The end of?
The post-fight.
No, I just watched the actual fight.
So you didn't see any of the Joshua stuff?
I saw clips and highlights of it, but man, I saw,
you got the gist.
Yeah. I mean, come on. That's what this fight's about, right? This is what we're all here for. We're all here for the Fury AJ.
Well, are we though? That's the thing. Like, so Joshua, it was pretty crazy scene after the fight, and I was wondering how it was going to play out. So Joshua doesn't go into the ring after the fight. And I think Turkey and Fury looked absolutely foolish because Turkey teased a big announcement. The biggest fight in British history is going to come later on this evening. And it turns out the fight with AJ isn't signed. So there's no stare down after. Just Fury yelling awkwardly down at Joshua, who's just sitting there chilling like, I'm not going in the ring. I'm not doing anything you say. I don't have to. I didn't sign anything. The fight is still being negotiated. I'm not going to go into the ring and risk any negotiation leverage that I have just because Turkey said so. I just can't believe that they didn't have something signed, sealed, and delivered on such a grand stage. They were just going to go off of Turkey saying, no, it's going to happen.
What do you mean you can't believe? What do you mean you can't believe that that's what happened? Of course, this is, for the way things have gone with this, of course. Big promises, the delivery isn't always there. You can't just force people to do things anymore, especially a guy like AJ, man. AJ is, I think the power dynamic has changed quite a bit. And AJ, being a businessman, did a really good job of, like you said, not giving up any leverage in terms of negotiating. If the deal's not in place, I'm not going to go do this pony show. I'm going to sit right here, look cool, give Tyson the finger.
He did look cool.
He did. He always looks cool.
I'm the landlord. Yeah. What a line. I'm the landlord. You do what I say.
AJ rules. But
big sausage. It was just like, it was a good moment. But what I said, I can't believe it. See, I can believe it because Turkey has done a lot of great for the sport, but he still has not figured out how to announce a fight properly.
He gets excited. He gets very excited.
He gets excited. He's like a fan.
I get it.
He gets excited. He grabs the mic from the presenter early before the Ben fight. I'm going to bring a big fight. I have the biggest fight in British boxing. Obviously, we know it's Fury and Joshua. So I'm expecting, okay, you remember when Golovkin and Canelo had a fight ready to go and they had everything signed, sealed, and delivered. They got into the ring afterward. Max was in the middle. And we had a presentation, a video, And then we had a date and we had a stare down, all tidied up. HBO, here we go. Triple G versus Canelo. You would think a fight of this magnitude with Netflix involved, Turkey, every other finances should be fine. With him teasing it, is we were going to get a concrete fight announcement. But we're not.
Well,
because it's not, nothing's concrete about this.
I think a year ago, even if there wasn't a deal, I think AJ and Eddie would have been okay with that. Like, okay, yeah, we're gonna get there. We'll figure out the deal. But now, again, the power dynamic has changed, and the lines have been drawn in the sand in terms of where everyone stands. So now it gets a little nasty with negotiating, and you got to figure these things out. So you can't force the issue anymore. You know, with the way that these power brokers are operating. So I think that was a good move by Eddie. Good move by AJ. Not a great move by Turkey to try and push it through. You know, at that time, like live. But I still think the fight happens. I still think it happens. I still think it comes through. And that big announcement is pending. Just not going to be as soon as we thought or as soon as Turkey
thought. Do you think it will happen?
I do.
Because I see some chatter out there. You know, I think AJ's more out than in. This was his chance to get inside of that ring. I agree that him not going in was the right move. Do you think AJ Fury happens second half of 2026?
I do. I do think that happens. I think it happens in the fall.
So no tune-up fight for AJ then.
I don't think he needs one. He basically had his tune-up fight, which was Jake Paul. That was his tune-up match. But I think he should go right into it. I don't think he should risk any other fights leading up to that. There's just too much money to be made. I think now the fight is the negotiating table. The fight now is getting the contract situated. But I do think this fight happens, and I do think it happens this year.
Yes, I agree. I think it happens. The thing now is if AJ is going to take that tune-up. Like, I don't think he needs a tune-up. Like, you're right. Like, I thought that Fury looked just good enough. AJ looked, he knocked the rust off in the Joshua and the Jake fight. But the thing is that the car accident, which he alluded to on the broadcast. But, you know, also at the same time, he's at the fight. He's ringside. He's showing up last week. He was at Chisora and Wilder. He's now back into the public eye. And yes, I will give him the benefit of the doubt. He is dealing with a lot of trauma 4 months ago. But he wouldn't put himself in that position that he was in yesterday ringside if he wasn't serious about this fight. So I see some using that excuse. So I can't believe Turkey and Fury would have put AJ in that position given what he's been going through. It's like, no, bro, it's fair game. He showed up for that reason or showed up for some type of altercation after the fight. Like I thought it would be more of a buttoned up thing, but apparently it's not.
But even just his presence speaks volumes, and he doesn't have to say or do anything. Just being there, you know, you see him the whole telecast. AJ was prominent, so you know that matters too. But also, in another thought about AJ and where he's at mentally, based on you know the tragedy that he's experienced. You know, he lost team members. Yes, they were like very, very close friends and quote unquote like family type guys. But it was part of his team. So boxing is always going to remind him of his friends. You know, so I think getting around the scene, one either shows that yes, he's looking to move forward. He's back in the boxing scene. He's back in the public eye. He can do it without the team members. Or he's testing himself to say, all right, how do these emotions come up when I am in this scenario once again? When I'm put back into the situation where I normally have my friends with me, I normally have my team with me. How do I feel? How do I operate? So I think he's still working through that. Again, this is all speculation. I have no idea how a man feels about a situation. But to your point, he's still showing up. And if wherever AJ goes, people are going to notice, you know, and I think that matters.
So obviously you say it's a negotiation thing. That's the,
I think so.
Which is like the part of boxing that all fans just can't stand anymore. There's some that still enjoy this, but can't stand. Like, I'm curious about this negotiation because for a while I thought, all right, it's definitely Fury who's the A side of this. He's had all the belts. He's been the man. You know, Joshua had lost to Ruiz and he then lost to Usyk. And then Fury goes on to lose to Usyk. Both guys can put asses in seats. Both guys have done massive stadium fights. Who is like the driving force here? Who's the A side in Fury, Joshua?
I think it's AJ. I think it's AJ. He's been in the bigger events in recent time. You know, that Jake Paul fight was huge. I think he got a lot of really good fanfare from that, coming to America, getting a lot of attention. You hear nothing but good things about AJ. You know, he hasn't left, you know, the news minute in a long time. And Fury, you know, he disappeared for a bit. And Fury is a guy who always kind of stayed relevant, even when he wasn't fighting, having TV shows about his family and saying wild things. And he's been kind of quiet, more quiet than we're used to dealing with Fury. So I do think AJ is probably in the driver's seat at this point. I'm sure Eddie and his negotiating power is going to treat it as such. But at the end of the day, for these guys, the only thing that really matters is the money. The split, the money, how much is involved, who's getting paid what. Because, listen, you got to do it in Wembley. It's a huge fight. It's two UK heavyweights, two of the best guys in history, really. Two of the best British heavyweights in history, both of these guys. So it has to be over there. And then, you know, in terms of, you know, broadcasting, I feel like that stuff's all kind of worked out. Who walks first, who's this and that, gloves, that's not critical. Money is.
No, it's not.
Money is.
I think it's 50-50. I think if this was ever a 50-50 money split, this is a 50-50 fight, because it comes down to very minute differences in their popularity, accomplishments, live gates and all that. So I think if there was ever a 50-50 type of money split, this would be it. Yeah, you're right. Who gets top billing on the poster and stuff, like, that will get sorted out. I'm pretty excited for it. I'm not going to lie, because, see, obviously it's becoming 10 years too late. And shout out to Carl Froch, who was at the desk for Netflix. This might be his last time working for Netflix, because he was way too honest the entire night. He just was straight. They go to the desk and they're all trying to hype up Fury AJ. And they're going around the table. Leila Ali says some spiel, some, like, you know, whatever, meant nothing. Lennox Lewis, once again, says, you know, yeah, I'm excited for it. And then they come to Froch. He's like, nah, this fight's like 10 years too late. He's like, I'm not that excited for it. And there was like a silence on the set, and it was like so refreshing, because yes, that's 100% correct. The fight is 10 years too late. I think we all can agree on that, or set 5 years too late, whatever. It's too late. But if they can ever just, they're getting the last bit out of the, you know, wringing the towel out, because Fury looked okay. And Joshua, we're basing Joshua off of a freaking Jake Paul fight, but his popularity, his relevance, especially here in the States, like, he's still relevant.
Yes. More so now than and forever. Because over
more
here.
More so than ever, I believe.
I agree.
But here's the thing, like, in terms of it inside of the ring, Fury just got 12 rounds with a decent top 20 ish heavyweight. What are we basing AJ off of?
Six rounds with Jake Paul. Yeah.
And then absolutely iced by Dubois before that, took a long time off.
And for a lot of people, months, didn't think AJ looked that great against Paul either. So there's always that as well.
So who's the edge going to inside of the ring? Because I think you look at the power, you think, all right, Joshua's still got power. He's so menacing. Fury's dancing around in the ring, but still sharp. Like, who's got more left in the tank right now, AJ or Fury?
Honestly, this fight comes down to chin for me. Who can take whose punch? Who can deliver the heavy artillery? AJ's the better puncher. AJ's one of the best, still to this day, one of the best heavyweight punchers in the game. But can he get it to Tyson Fury, who, when he's on, he's hard to hit. He's reactive. He's tall. He's long. He fights from a long out of range position. But even Joshua, who, you know, has been stopped recently, and you know, pretty badly too. It's all relative, right? If you're not a huge puncher, Tyson's not. But if the guy's chin is not great, it equals out. So it's going to be who can land that shot and hurt the other guy and go with it from there. And they might hurt each other. I like this fight. I know, you know, Froch is speaking the truth, and he always does. But at the same time, I'm still excited for the fight, because I think they're both past it enough, you know, in equal senses, that it's still a good competitive fight. And I really don't know how the fight goes. And that's another reason why I'm excited about it. I don't know who wins this fight. I love that. It's 10 years too late for sure, but this is when it has to happen.
It has to happen this year. This is it. They're like, these things, it's like meteors. I mean, I don't know if that's even the right analogy. No, it's horrible.
No, it's
meteors.
It's like, yeah, I don't know about that. It's
what?
Dan, did you work two fights this weekend and just fly in?
No, I'm just dumb.
Yeah.
I actually had a lot of sleep and had a very, what I'm trying to say is, like, It's got to be perfect time. Meteors, this is just not even close. It has to be perfect timing. Like, we're still somewhat relevant from these two guys. Like, any further, it's done.
It's like a...
Like you say, is this fight's going to happen next year? No.
Man, no. No, it's got to happen now.
It's here. It's in this little box, and it's still... There's still people trying to peek in the box. Meteors.
Yeah, this can get stale real quick. This can get stale real quick. If we see this a year from right now, it's going to lose a lot of the luster. I think you got to
strike.
You got to get it now. And that's why I don't think AJ should take a tune-up. I think he should go right in. Because God forbid he takes a tune-up and just doesn't look okay, and it doesn't look great. Then you got two mediocre performances coming together, and it's like, I'm not as excited. I mean, people will still tune in, of course. The UK fans, of course, are going to show up. I don't think the gate kills no matter what. But in terms of global interest, yeah, it's got to happen now. And on Netflix.
Well, I wonder what the Netflix announced that it's happening.
That's awesome.
They put out a tweet this autumn only on Netflix, AJ versus Fury. I'm like, oh, okay. Was this like pre-written? Was this in and some intern not knowing that they hit send on it? Because did you watch AJ? Because he did not move.
That's one of those things where the producer that's on the screen and they're like, no. Damn it. Too late.
They sent it out. It's out there. I wonder if Turkey's really putting the pressure on her or they went Netflix went to Turkey and the powers that sell her.
It could be Netflix. Like, it could be we're seeing these streaming networks putting pressure on fights happening. It could be Netflix.
Well, dude, they invested in this Fury. This was not a good card. This was the worst card of the Netflix boxing era. It just wasn't competitive. We'll get to the Ben fight next, and there was just slop. It wasn't up to the standards that we've seen out of Netflix. Even spectacle-wise, like, you may not have liked Joshua versus Jake, and you might not have liked Tyson versus Jake, but those
felt
massive.
It felt
spectacles.
Big. It felt big.
Right. Those are 30 million to 100 million range. This didn't feel big at all. This felt like, all right, we're going to invest in Fury. We have his show coming out today, season 2 of Keeping Up with the Furies. So it seemed like, all right, we're going to invest in Fury with the payoff being the Joshua fight. Coming at the end of the year. I think that's set.
Well, Dan, I think this was supposed to be the Joshua fight with Fury. I think that's what they were expecting, or at least...
Yeah, probably.
And then obviously the tragedy that happened to Joshua and his team. And then, you know, Fury was going to be the guy anyway. So, all right, we put him back in. We put him back in with Makhmudov, who, again, we said, for the look and feel, was the right guy, especially after the result. And then even, you know, the undercard, Ben getting on there is essentially just a pissing contest with Dana and Eddie, you know, and some big money coming in from a third party to make that fight happen, you know, taking a 140-pounder, bumping him up 50, you know, 10 pounds and, you know, 37-year-old. Yeah, the card was not. I don't think it was supposed to be that. This was supposed to be Fury and Joshua, but we're kicking it down the road a little bit, which is fine. Hopefully people aren't losing interest because this card wasn't that great, but I don't think that's the case. I think this is just going to build towards Joshua. It would have made a lot more sense if they could announce it that night and they could have had the face off. That would have rounded out this show properly.
We see a lot of super fights go awry in the sport quite often. It could go off the rails very quickly. The only thing I can see being an impediment here, besides AJ's psyche and if he actually wants this fight, because it's clearly on the balls in his court, is the networks. Once again, DAZN allowed Joshua to fight Jake Paul on Netflix. They took a fee from him. DAZN is heavily invested in Joshua. They want him on their air, especially now more than ever, because Joshua is a big star. DAZN has the ultimate plan. They're looking for subscribers. This is what it is. Are they going to allow Anthony Joshua to fight consecutive fights, massive fights, on Netflix's platform is the question.
That depends how much the networks actually are battling each other. Are they head-to-head fighting? Is there a line drawn in the sand there? So in that case, Dan, that's a good point. So does the DAZN bring Joshua back with the tune-up, and then they go for the Netflix fight.
To get something out of it?
Yes.
To get one last something out of Joshua?
Yes, to get a Joshua fight on.
Like an obligation? They could have told him in the Jake fight, yeah, we'll let you fight on Netflix, but you got to give us one after this.
So that, yeah.
Or not give us one, come back to us where you belong.
That brings another variable. Yeah, it's like, all right, yeah, you can go do that one, but your next one's got to be back here. You can't just run off and play with your new girlfriend, Netflix. You got to come back to us and pay your dues here, and then maybe then we'll talk about the next one. So that could be holding up the negotiating as well. Maybe they're still figuring out that end, the DAZN end. That's a good point, Dan. That's probably it. But yeah, I mean that's
well, Netflix is going to throw around money. Netflix is going to just tell DAZN, all right, here's $10 million.
Yeah, but how much money does DAZN need? They need the star power. It's not just the check. Yeah, they need a reason for you to do that ultimate plan.
Yeah,
well, I mean, although I do think they're doing a great job, DAZN.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. But like in the subscription world we're living in, it's no longer about PPV buys. It's about how many people are going to fork out the $450 for the.
Did you get the email that Netflix went up? Did you get that?
No.
Maybe that was just me. I don't know. My Netflix went up.
I think everything is going. I mean, is there ever a streaming service that goes down in price?
No, that's a good point.
They're going to be going up, and away. Yeah.
Like gas prices. Up and up and up.
Oh, windows are coming down.
Are they? They started coming down?
Yeah. I checked.
I don't even look. I haven't looked in years.
Here's the thing with gas prices. I know it sucks, but what are we going to do?
I know. That's always my argument. Oh, I see these gas prices. I'm like, no, I put my card in. I got to do it.
Yeah, so it was an interesting fight for Fury. One last thing. We could get Mayweather Pacquiao and Fury Joshua in the same year. Only problem is that we're in the year 2026.
Yeah. 10 years too late, 20 years too late. I mean, so when would have been ideal for Mayweather Pacquiao?
2011.
They fought in 2015. So Joshua Fury is what, 8 years too late?
Joshua Fury should happen in 2018.
Yeah, so that one's 8 years too late. And then Mayweather Pacquiao was
like 5 years too
was
late.
Was 5 years too late. Now it's 15 years too late. Wow. that one's in trouble too, by the way. That discussion is not going great either. You see these guys going back and forth.
Pacquiao bought Mayweather's gym. I was like, this is what the promotion is in 2026 for this fight. In 2015, when it was 5 years overdue, I was still jazzed up for that promotion because it was Mayweather and Pacquiao. Now it's so sad. It's an AI. I saw an AI picture of Mayweather sad in front of a gym with a bankrupt sign behind it. With Pacquiao standing in front of it.
I think this is all a work. I think this fight happens. It happens in September. It happens at the Sphere. Whatever they're going to do, I think this is all a work. You telling me Mayweather didn't understand the contract that it was going to be a real fight? Of course he did. There's no way.
I'm not going to say the joke there.
I know. The joke is obviously that he doesn't read. But it doesn't matter. He's got 50 lawyers. Cent. He's got lawyers, dude. He's been doing it.
Yeah, but he's in so many problems. Like, did you ever think Mayweather would go broke, number one?
I don't know if he's broke. That's one of the things that I don't believe either. You know, listen, Mayweather is very smart at marketing fights. He's one way or another.
He's got a $7 million tax bill right now.
Oof, that's a lot. That's a lot.
It's IRS, bro.
Sell 10 watches.
You may have beaten everyone in front of you, but you will not beat the IRS.
Uncle Sam always gets paid.
Uncle Sam is the only guy that could ever beat Floyd Mayweather. Or maybe a 48-year-old Pacquiao.
I mean, Pacquiao got beat on some taxes, too, in his day. But
right? Him coming out as like the money man of this is actually hilarious because the only reason he's fighting right now is because he's lost a large chunk of his net worth as well.
Did he? I don't follow these guys.
Why else are they fighting?
I mean, Pacquiao fought Barrios to try to be a world champion, and he fought a real fight. Like, I know Mayweather's doing these exhibitions,
Make money. Number one.
Yeah. Well, he almost.
It's like I always say, it's the quickest way to you can make up $20 million in one night.
That's insane.
Where else can you do that in life?
Nowhere.
Only in boxing. Mm-hmm. Maybe as a concert. Even if you're a musical artist, you can't make that in one night. You make it in a tour.
You can do a tour.
You got to work.
Yeah.
Well, if you factor in the fight camps, so it's not just one night.
Yeah, it's never one night.
It's like 2 months. It's 2 months of work, but it's one night of performing. And you get your big, big ass check. But that's a crazy thing to think about, is getting Mayweather, Pacquiao, September, AJ, Joshua, that's the same person, AJ, Fury.
November?
October or November, both on Netflix. Netflix would be so happy with that. They got their MMA card, they got Mayweather, Pacquiao, and they got Fury and AJ.
That's a big fall. It's a big fall, big autumn.
a Netflixy type of a fall. We'll see what happens. We'll see what goes on there. I think we're going to hear more from Eddie Hearn. Speaking of Eddie Hearn, he was ringside for the co-main event. Conor Benn defeats Regis Progre in an uninspiring effort from Benn, a pedestrian performance, I said afterwards. Benn could not get Regis out of there, who admitted to having several injuries, 140-pounder blown up to 150. It was all there for Conor Benn to have a spectacular knockout, and he once again could not get the job done. That is zero knockouts for Benn since 2022. He is just average. He is just mediocre. Everyone could see it now. If there was ever someone on the fence about what Conor Benn could be, get off the fence. He's domestic level with a name.
He has not beat a notable fighter under the age of 35 yet. Progre was 37.
And you're on that list, buddy.
I was just shy of 38. Eubank was 35 and very weight drained. His best performance of his entire career was the second Eubank fight. And Eubank, in hindsight, everyone was saying, Eubank looked dead on the weight. You know, excuse. Then you see him, how Benn performed this weekend, and you're like, oh yeah, no, Eubank must have been really, really, really shot, you know, on the weight. He did.
Orozco was 26, but guy's got five losses.
I said notable class level fighters, and Orozco's not. Orozco got stopped on a Pro Box TV card his next fight. And you know, Dobson lost his next two fights again to a former Pro Box TV guy. So the level of guys that are notable, even worth writing down, were over the age of 35. And listen, got to be some buyer's remorse on that $15 million because that did not help the brand. That did not help the ring. That did not help Zuffa. That was a really poor performance. And listen, right away, Progre didn't look like he was going to make it out of the first round. Every punch that touched him, even on his gloves, looked to wobble his legs. He was not reacting well to punches, which we've seen from Progre recently. You know, he went to war and got hurt by Jojo Diaz, who's a former 130-pounder. He got dropped by Devin Haney by a straight right hand. He got dropped by Jack Catterall, I think, twice. You know, not punchers. And they were able to put him down. Benn couldn't put him down. Benn hasn't scored a knockout in 4 years. Benn scored two knockdowns in the 12th round against Eubanks Jr. in the 12th round.
His corpse.
Yeah, basically at that point. Yeah, this any question about his level, any question about his punching power, any question about anything. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious now, you know, what you're dealing with Benn. And again, I mean, where he goes from here, I know he came out calling Ryan Garcia out from the Raptors. Everyone's licking their chops. Everybody was commenting on it. Shakur's like, if I went the distance with this guy, I would be embarrassed.
Give me a fucking break.
You know, who else called him out?
Would just freaking Ryan, I mean, play with him.
Yeah. No, I mean, but also one thing about, you know, he didn't look strong. He didn't look powerful. He didn't even look physically strong. He didn't look like he was overpowered. He was bigger than Progre. Wasn't overpowering him at all. Didn't look powerful, the punches that he did land, but also just he's degraded. The movement, the elbows were flaring, the jumping up and down, the diving in, the degradation of skills was really on display. Maybe it was the nerves of the event. Maybe it was trying to live up to the 15 mil. Maybe it was being inactive. Maybe it was the weight. I mean, he did not look good making the weight all week, but he got better as the fight went on. But yeah, the skill set was just not there.
The one positive I would say is that he did go to the body. He made an adjustment like halfway through the fight and started really focusing on the body. 60% of his landed shots were body shots. He only landed 32% of his overall punches. And you're right, a lot of wasted movement. A lot of herky jerky, where it was almost like, dude, slow down.
Yeah.
Like you look like you're wild in there. Set up a shot. Zero creative.
No deception. No creativity.
Zero creativity.
No continuity in anything he was doing. There was no building on anything he was doing. It was just explode in. You know, the head clashes was mostly because of him diving in and Progre being a pro and knew how to put his head in position when you got a guy diving in at him, and he's a shorter guy. So generally, taller guys take the worst of it when it comes to headbutts because the guy's head is lower, hits your eyebrows, you know, so he got cut over both eyes. I would say the saving grace for him is that he dealt with the adversity of the cuts and didn't seem to really bother him if you were going to look at anything that was positive from this. But I mean, you mentioned the body punches. I thought the second half of the fight, Poirier was just really just on his last leg, and
yeah.
Ben couldn't put anything together to get him out of there, but was in control easily toward the end of the fight.
Oh yeah, he landed 47% of his power shots, Poirier.
And how many did he throw? He wasn't very busy.
It wasn't busy. It was like the lower output, higher percentage. But that's a pretty good percentage. And after the fight,
I was saying he old manned it. He old manned it very well.
Yeah, grit, guile. I think Poirier came out of this looking great. He retires after the fight.
Smart move.
Wish he would have had a better moment. Could have done it in the ring. For some reason, Netflix decided not to give Conor Benn a post-fight interview, which is just stunning to me. The guy, like, the whole point of Conor Benn is to hear him speak and have him call people out and get upset and get triggered as a fan by the people he's going to call out afterwards, or maybe assess his performance. I would have loved to have heard him be either delusional, something about how that fight went. Nothing. Netflix decided not to give him a post-fight interview, which I found just insane.
Yeah, I didn't get to see that because I was on my way to the arena. I was watching literally on my phone as I was going.
Also, they go to the desk and they don't even discuss the fight. Zero comment. The fight just ended and then they just moved on.
I mean, it wasn't a very good fight. So
I was texting with Ariel, and he said that it is potentially have a curfew. London has a very strict curfew. And they might have been running long, but what you gave Richard Ryakapur, who had a nice win, several-minute interview, so you should have timed it out better, where you want to hear from Ben.
They were over time because the walks were all a little bit pushed back. So,
and they also had to factor in that this whole whatever Fury Joshua post-fight was going to be at least 20 minutes of whatever that was going to be.
But listen, the guy's making $15 million. You can make him earn it. Make him earn it. Make him talk.
I understand this. You don't want to hear, like, when I posted that on Twitter, I can't believe no post-fight. Everyone was like, I don't want to hear from him anyway. He's going to just talk nonsense. That's the whole point. That's why you signed him. You didn't sign him because we have our next future champion. You signed him to generate social media buzz to call out Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney.
They want the cringe. We live in a cringe. We live in a cringe society. We want the cringe. We need that.
Where is the cringe? I was like, I couldn't believe it. I'd love to know the reasoning behind that. It was just very, very odd. But along those same lines, Poirier retires after the fight in the locker room. Maybe, you know, if they didn't have a curfew or time, whatever. He could have done that inside of the ring. I think he deserved
that. Would have been
that.
Nice. He definitely deserves that. Two-time world champion.
Because it was pretty clear he made his mind up. He kind of knew he wasn't going to. If I lose, I'm retiring. It came right away. It wasn't no like, hey, I'm going to go back to the drawing board. I'm going to, you know, think about it. He retired right away. But Poirier tells Chris Mannix, the rumors about me being hurt were true. I was terrified. I didn't know if I was going to hold up. Injuries to my right hand, eye, rib, and jaw. Said as recently as Friday, he considered pulling out of the fight.
Yikes. I mean, a lot of those injuries, though, like, fighters always have those. Like, the eye is very scary, you know, the eye. But, like, hands, I rarely go into a fight with both hands healthy. Ribs, you spar, you're getting ready for fights, you know, older guy, that stuff. The eye is very scary, though, because your eyes are hard to fix, and going blind
is a real thing. His legs were.
Yeah, I was worried for him in the first round. He got hit with, very end, he got hit with a little right hand that, like, really grazed him, like, almost hit, like, below his ear, and his legs really just, like, almost went out. He caught himself. He never went down. But, like, yeah, he got grazed, and those legs looked really bad in the first round. First half of the fight, he looked very unsteady.
I can't believe I bet Ben knockout.
Well, you were almost right in the first couple rounds. Oh, it looked, man, like it.
Won.
It certainly looked like it.
I would have won my parlay.
When I was watching the first round, times. I was like, oh, progress, I'm lasting. His legs are all over the place. Getting hit with, like, getting nicked by shots, and his legs are going. I'm like, oh. But then.
And then Ben is just so bad.
It's just no precision.
It's not even a good watch.
No, it wasn't even fun to watch. No.
You got a guy who was he's literally, like, being taped. He's put together with duct tape, Regis Poirier. And he's a smaller guy. Everything was on the side of a Poirier knockout. I mean, excuse me, of a Conor Benn knockout. And he still couldn't do it.
I mean, are we really expecting him to make 47 again?
Well, he said he made 149, and he said, I could have just done 147.
I don't know, dude. You didn't look very good at 50, at 49. What are we, at 49 and a half? That's still another – listen – 2.5 pounds at the end of a weight cut is really not fun. That's tough, man. That's another 2.5 pounds to get down. And obviously, I mean, it looked like it affected him because he did not look physically strong either. It wasn't even the power. You know, the power has always been questionable, but the physicality, like, he's been explosive. He's been physically strong, and he did not look strong in there. He just didn't. He looked like he was like a waif. It seemed like the weight really took the physicality out of him.
Whatever promotion that has represented Conor Benn next, because he is a free agent, they need to run to Ryan Garcia or any of the other champions, Devin Haney, Rolly Romero,
get that payout.
Get that payout. Cash this guy out immediately because...
But no, it doesn't matter. The money's gone. You're not making that $15 million back. And plus all the buildup from his entire career.
But he's getting a that big... He's number one with the WBC, which in hindsight is even more ridiculous now. That's the number one ranked welterweight in the world, according to Mauricio Sulaiman. You're a joke, WBC.
Wild.
Your green belt is a joke. Because he is not number one. Because the welterweight division is actually pretty decent now.
Dude, Brian Norman, Devin Haney, Rolly Romero, Ryan Garcia.
Pacquiao.
All of those guys beat that guy on Saturday. All of them.
You might say that he's not going to get that type of money. But he's in the position to land Ryan Garcia. Ryan Garcia, that should be the next fight for Ryan Garcia.
Oh, he definitely wants it.
He's dancing around Haney. He's dancing around other opponents. It's this summer. Whoever's representing Ben, whether it's Zuffa still, whether he makes a deal with PBC or makes a deal with whoever Ryan Garcia is aligned with, or it's straight through Turkey, Ryan versus Conor Ben. Give me that in September.
Massive.
If it's not going to be Haney, which I really want.
Yeah, massive target on his back. Oh, Haney would be. That would be wonderful. But yeah, no, massive target on his back. I mean, everyone is licking their chops anywhere near and around that weight class.
Because he does represent eyeballs, he represents money, and you could be the guy to ice Conor Benn.
And may possibly end his career, because he's already got a loss. He obviously lost at 160, but you beat him at 47. It's like, all right, dude, you're not becoming a world champion. You're not doing anything at 54. Where does he go? He's in a bad place, because he doesn't seem like he can make 47 healthfully and be productive. And at 54... I don't see anything. No. Eddie made a good point. He was like, he should go back to 160. He looked better at 60. He looked more, you know, he's healthier, stronger. But let's see what happens when he fights a guy at 60 who's, you know, healthy.
Eddie had a good, must have been just laughing.
Oh, Eddie was, he kept it professional, very professional.
Eddie kept going to him on Netflix, I think was smart. You had Eddie Joshua Eubank Jr.,
mm-hmm.
who hates Eddie Hearn.
Yes, but yes, he does.
What's the old
saying? Famously, enemy of my friend is my friend. My enemy, yes. Yeah, enemy of my friend is my friend. Yeah,
that's what it was here, because yeah, I hate you, Eddie, but you hate Conor Benn, and I hate Conor Benn. Let's have ourselves a hate watch. Let's light up a cigar. But I'll say this though: even if Eddie did have Benn, still, he would be saying, Ryan Garcia, you're next. And they would make a boatload of money off of that.
What? But is it out of sorts to even think that Eddie might sign Ben again and then make that fight? Is that a crazy thing?
Well, one thing about these guys is they are businessmen first, but this one does strike a little more to the personal side. They're arguing over, hey, I bought you a Rolls Royce. No, you didn't. I bought you a house, Eddie says. No, I bought the house. Like, they're going deeper than just the normal boxing stuff. No, nothing surprises me in this sport when it comes to the business side. Like I always say, if you're unhappy with your job or you're unhappy with anything, just take their money. If you hate your job, take their money.
Smile all the way to the bank.
Right. Take your money. Take their money. So if they come, I don't think they'd ever come back to him. I believe I saw something on Twitter where Dana White was asked last night after the UFC event, you know, what's going on with Conor Benn, and he kind of intimated that they'd be signed long term. I did hear some way off the record stuff about how the $15 million was front-loaded, and it's really $15 million for two or three fights, and they put up the $15 million up front, so Matchroom would have a harder time trying to match the rights to it.
Ooh, sneaky. Bitty, bitty sneaky.
Heard that from a pretty...
reputable source?
Yeah, kind of, like a lawyer in the boxing world.
Don't give too much information, dude. Don't
lawyers
don't,
talk.
Don't out this.
No, I'm not.
Guy or lady.
That's way off the record, but now on the record because I said it on the podcast. But I would expect Ben to be part of Zuffa.
Yes, and as we've seen, that has been the expectation.
Right, and as we've seen, Chris, is if you're with Zuffa, there's many tiers. And Ryan Garcia's last fight was a ring card promoted in unison with PBC and Sella and Riyadh. So Ryan Garcia versus Conor Ben can happen. And if I'm Ryan Garcia, I'm pushing for that. If I'm Conor Ben's team, I'm running towards that.
I've heard other things, but this could have changed because of Saturday in terms of what Ryan's doing next. I've heard other things. But
was it Haney? I want Haney.
I cannot divulge right now.
Well, come on, bro.
But no, it's not Haney.
Is it like a Golden Boy guy?
No, I'm not giving any more information. I'm just saying it's not Haney.
That's messed up, bro.
But things could have changed because of Saturday night. That was as underwhelming as that fight was. There's ripples that are going to come through the sport because of it.
Yeah, if I'm Devin Haney, I'm beating the door down to fight him.
There's no shot Conor signs to fight Haney. He's already said, oh, I'm not going to fight. He's gonna run. Like, oh, okay. But that's the reason. Up. Yeah, that's the reason.
That's why I wanted to hear him afterwards, just to hear his delusion or hear him maybe come back down to earth. Because off of that performance, how do you possibly bring up the name of Devin Haney, Shakur Stevenson, even Ryan Garcia, who you might not rate in the same level as those two I just named, I think would handle and potentially knock out Ben inside of 8 rounds.
Yeah, probably sooner. Ryan's levels above. You know, Ryan at this point is in that top rung of guys. I'm not saying he beats everybody. I honestly don't think he does, but he's in that top rung with those top guys at welterweight. The Haney's, the Ryan, the even Brian Norman. I think he's still in the mix. Brian Norman and Ben, forget it. That fight doesn't last either. And
poor Lewis Crocker.
Oh, he's another one. I bet you Crocker would probably
be the IBF champion.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're like right there. That seems like an easy fight to make as well. Just the profile's not going to match what Ben is really looking for.
No. See,
but there's a title. There's a title. You want to be a champion. Title.
Well, I don't, like people were saying, I don't know if Conor Ben could be the Zuffa champion.
Well,
even though he's not like a Zuffa guy.
Yeah, but they just signed a bunch of really tough guys. You know, so.
Like Hitchens would box circles around. Yes, Hitchens. Ben at 147.
Honestly, I think he would.
Julian Hammerhand?
I was going to say, I think he struggles with Hammerhands. Tito Mercado apparently just left Matchroom. I bet you he's going to go to Zuffa. You're not beating that kid. That kid's a stud.
Stanionis, who hasn't fought in a year.
Yeah, that's actually a viable fight for Ben.
Why would he ever do that?
I mean, if you're in that Zuffa playground,
he's going to go Ryan Garcia or bust.
Yeah.
He's the number one WBC. They can justify it there. Ryan's the WBC champion. You got to price him out. Like Haney is still a name, but he's not as big as a Ryan fight.
Yeah,
right. I wonder if they would do it over in the UK, or that would be like a Vegas fight.
At this point, Ryan could definitely force it to be in the States.
That would be sick in September. Listen, once again, this is if Haney Ryan doesn't happen, which I've been on, and I think you would agree, that's the fight we both want to see next for Haney and Ryan is them.
It's one of the biggest American fights that can be made. It's
yes,
yeah.
So if we can't get Haney Ryan, I think a consolidation would be Ryan Garcia splattering Conor Ben.
Consolation.
What did I say?
Consolidation.
Consolidate it. Consolidate Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia, and Conor Ben into one fight.
Between you and Paulie, the corrections I have to make with the terms that are used.
That's not good.
My nickname should be Thesaurus.
And Paulie's still fighting.
Yes, yes. And Paulie is getting very...
God bless his soul.
He's the fight's soon. It's a month away, I think.
All right, so I got to talk about Paulie for a second. This guy, I love him to death. He goes on, despite our long-standing beef.
There's no beef.
Squashed. We squashed it in Orlando at a steakhouse a couple of years back, our CompuBox beef. So Paulie doesn't really tweet as much as he used to. He used to tweet while calling fights, famously. While he worked at Showtime. Guy was all over Twitter. He hasn't tweeted, and his last tweet was March 16th, and then before that was February 22nd. I mean, that's once a month. This guy was averaging 10 tweets every 5 minutes in like 2020. So he tweets out, Conor Ben is not only not a two-weight world champion, He's not even a one-weight world champion. Netflix trying to be taken seriously by the boxing mainstream and putting up a complete BS stats like this is exactly why they'll never be taken seriously. He then goes on TalkSport with those guys over there. That's pretty big.
He was doing that prior to us going on air.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Screaming in the back.
He started slow. It was like a
screaming in the
Mount,
back.
Mount Malignaggi. He started calm. I was like, wow, he's pretty calm. He was very giving good analysis.
Mount Vesuvius of
Mount Malignaggi. He was giving great analysis of Fury, coherent, quiet, like, you know, wasn't cutting off the interviewer. And I was like, all right, this is actually cool because I'm actually hearing from Paul. And then he starts going off about this stat that Netflix supposedly put up about Ben being a two-weight world champion. So I'm thinking in my head, like, there's no way I would have caught that too. And he's going crazy. And they're all like, even the guys in TalkSport were like, I don't remember that. And Paul's like, I hope I'm wrong. So I went back to the broadcast on Netflix. You could just pull it right up. And they were talking about Nigel Benn,
his father. His father, famously, two-weight world champion, one of the best British fighters of all time.
That's the graphic. It's Nigel Benn, father, two-weight world champion. First one right there at the top.
All right, Paulie got a little hot. Because he said that, and I was like, they said that? I'm like, because I was watching it on my tablet in my room, and then I was watching it on my phone the last, like, two rounds, whatever. But, like, I'm not looking at the graphics when I'm watching the fight, getting ready for to call a fight myself live. Paulie obviously wasn't either, because he didn't see what that actually said. But, man, did that light him up.
Yeah, he went off. It was just so funny, because it didn't happen. Because he's crazy. He's getting ready for a fight. He's
yes.
Wild, man.
He is in full feral mode for fight time, which, listen, we get like that.
Yeah, he plugged his fight too, BKB.
He's got a tough fight.
Next month.
He's got a tough fight, really tough fight.
Can't even imagine.
I think it's a six rounder too, man.
Six rounds of bare knuckle?
Because it's a title fight.
How many minutes is each round?
Six threes, man. It's a long time.
Ooh, baby. That's a lot. All right. Well, that is it for our episode. I am headed to Manhattan, New York City. Quick train ride for MVP Fight Week. Alicia Bumgardner steps into the ring. Shadeja Green, a doubleheader on ESPN.
Yeah, I was thinking about throwing MVPs. Some bets on that. I was thinking about it, but I don't know. That whole card, I was going to do a little parlay of all the ladies, but I don't know.
When you bet women's boxing, is a lot of chalk.
Yeah, but like you can make little scrapes. Also, I made some good money on Fury going the distance with Makhmudov, by the way.
Damn it! Did you bet that?
Yes, I did. Of course, I did.
Someone, a couple people tweeted at me, both fights going the distance.
Oh, big parlay.
Big parlay, and then if you had Ben points, Fury points, it was plus 1400.
Oof! Wow.
I just thought Ben could do it.
Let me down. You know what changed my mind? Seeing Ben step on the scale. And we talked about that in that last fight. Like he looked bad all week. It wasn't even the scale. When I saw him on Tuesday, and they had the press meeting on the top of the building where they were wearing parachute clothes for whatever reason. I'm looking at him like, that guy looks sucked out. And it's Tuesday of fight week. Weigh-ins are Friday. That's when I thought, I was like, you know what? This could go the distance. But you know what made me think no? Because of how fragile Prograis has looked his last couple fights.
Yes, that's what I was like, all right, even if...
So I was like, even if Ben is weight drained, he's still going to be bigger, and Prograis got dropped by Catterall and dropped by Haney, and then Ben doesn't even put him down, which is...
Stinks.
It just shows you know, what Ben is, but and where he came from. But the Makhmudov Tyson fight, and I don't know if I said this on this podcast, but I was definitely telling my friends who were betting, I was like, listen, when guys get older, the stoppages tend to go away. So I didn't...
Especially Fury, it was not really a...
No, it wasn't a big puncher anyway. And Makhmudov, yeah, his chin's not great. He got knocked out by Guido Vianello. You know,
see his neck?
Yeah, he's a moose, man. He's a moose. But he's been stopped. It's not like he's like super durable, you know, like... So Caballel knocked him out. Guido Vianello, who's not, I mean, I like Guido, but he's not at this level with these guys. He's not on the level of Tyson Fury. But still, I was like, I don't think Tyson stops him. And he didn't come even close to stopping him. So
no,
that was a good bet. I made nice money on that.
Whoever did that parlay with the 2 points, good for you guys. I'm jealous.
I think a Paulie live bet the Ben decision after like three rounds. He was like, oh no, which is a good move. Cause you could see, you could see like once like Poirier got out of like the danger zone in the first couple of rounds, you're like,
right.
And you saw how ineffective Ben was. You're like, oh, this is probably going to go this.
Cuts come.
Yeah. The cuts definitely didn't help, but, yeah, that's, oh, also, Poncho is going to be there this weekend with you over the MVP.
Yeah. MVP's first show on ESPN.
Nice.
Should be a pretty cool event. Friday night at 10:30 p.m. is the start, later start. That should be fun. I've been doing a lot of stuff with MVP this week. They got me up in the hotel, which is interesting. So I live on Long Island, but I'm going to be in the hotel all week because I didn't want to go back and forth.
Nice. Great. Yeah, you should. Yeah.
I was like, it's supposed to be 75 and sunny all week long.
Whoa.
I'm having myself a New York City week. I'm going to go to Central Park. Maybe go for a run in the park. No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not doing park. That.
Drop 3.5 pounds.
Whoa. Since when?
Last week.
Nice.
Incline treadmill.
Fat burning. Okay. Fat burning mode.
No
zone two?
No sugar.
You're doing zone two?
No sugar, no carbs, and then I don't eat till about noon. Simple, right. Nothing crazy.
I mean, a little late in the season for your cut, but okay, it's whatever.
No, I just want to buy for my next birthday, which is June 19th.
You got a nice pool where you live now, right?
Yeah, pool's not open yet, but they are putting out furniture.
Yeah, but that's why the diet starts in February, not
I know.
April, dude.
I'll be good. I'll be fine.
You're banking.
Weight cut is underway.
You're banking on the Kenobio jeans, but listen, buddy, you're getting older, man. You're getting older.
Metabolism is...
takes a little longer.
Feeling like Connor Bent on the scale. Not ready for it. All right, we'll see you later in the week for another episode of Inside Boxing. No live. Check yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs. We're out.